There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalomitis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com, Las Vegas Weekly, lasvegasweekly.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except on those instances when it does come out on...
The Saturday or the Monday.
The Saturday or the Monday. You can find The Sunday on a Saturday in hard copy. You can find my column on the Monday, because sometimes we stagger it, as we used to say. As we say,
you
and
know,
release
just,
at 2 a.m.
It
on
is
Monday.
Kind of like a repeat week, half week. It's like the half weekly.
It is sort of.
Yeah, three of the 7 days.
The Sunday
days
kills. You know, the Sunday won the NPA award for best weekly publication in the state. And
wow.
That's something we do. We added that publication without adding really any staff. Everybody pitched in, and it is a killer. I'm not just saying it because this is my company, killer publication. I love writing
it
for
is. It. I loved it.
Yeah, it's an easy read, and yet there's a lot of information in it. So
and I really like the pictures.
The pictures, and Wayne
with Boo.
Was one of our great covers, maybe my favorite cover on that whole the whole run we've had on the Sunday a few weeks ago with Boo, Wayne Newton,
yeah.
And Boo out at Casa de Shenandoah. And,
yep.
So what's happening? What can you tell us?
Well, what can I tell anybody? I am back just doing more video stuff for Casa, and everything's great. I mean, the people are really coming out, and we're upping up, we're doing some additional video stuff. So
good.
It's good. I'm doing that now, and, you know, we're getting out more of the advertising and all that out. So it's,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's evolving as it went, and it's like, and it's so great to see all the people out there, and
yeah,
that all the hard work is paid off, and you know, it's
Wayne has been known to be out there
a lot,
right?
Yeah, quite a lot.
Quite
he
a lot.
Was out there yesterday. He's out. I mean, he's there practically when he's in town almost every day at some point, but he's been out and about where people could see him probably in the last week, maybe like 5 days.
Jeez.
Yeah, we're open 7 days a week now, which is great.
Oh, wow.
And I love Thanksgiving. I cannot wait for Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yes.
Gosh, that's the one that's before Christmas, right?
Yes.
Big football day?
Yeah, well, yeah. For me, it's stuff myself silly.
What are you doing for the Thanksgiving holiday? Oh, you're going to be up in
Montana,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And the other interesting thing is that I'm very excited to get back. You know how much I miss Montana.
Yeah.
Wherever.
When's the last time you were up there?
Last time I was up there was for my mom's birthday in August.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, that was a long
time
ago.
Wayne hasn't spent nearly as much time up there as he normally does either with the opening of the museum.
And speaking of birthdays, I'm going to do a belated shout out. This past week was my friend Brittany Murphy's birthday. And so that was, you know, obviously it's sad she's no longer with us, but I had a couple glasses of wine in her honor, so...
Good.
Yeah. Not so
beautiful
good.
Beautiful girl.
Not so good after that.
I can't endorse wine under many circumstances,
exactly.
But it is good to toast
exactly.
Those who have touched your lives, and she
yeah,
certainly
and
was a touching, beautiful girl.
She was, beautiful. And you met her with me a couple times. And so
I did.
So, and now it's just, I'm back in Vegas.
Beautiful
I've
smile
been, I've been
on
back
Brittany
here.
Murphy. Beautiful
yes.
smile.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. Thank you.
You have a beautiful
I'm
smile.
Just kidding. But now let's talk about the fact that I took my mom, I spent Sunday at the ballet with my mom to see you.
The ballet.
Perform.
Yeah.
Balanchine at the Smith Center in the main room.
The big room, yeah. Balanchine Celebration. This is something I was honored to be asked to take part in, and it was a role. We've talked about it on the show.
Yeah, we talked about your lines, and you delivered them very well.
Didn't I deliver them well?
You did deliver them very well, and then you even went upstairs, and the whole thing of your acting about trying to shoot him, and he just kept dancing.
Yeah.
And trying to,
it was
like,
really fun.
Your acting was very good, and you sat there. You know, it was like, and we were down a few boxes from you. And I was sitting with the beautiful Melody Sweets and her mother.
Yes.
And her father. Sorry,
Wayne,
it was my mother.
Yeah. Your mother and her father, Wayne, who her father, I've understood, doesn't get to go to ballet very much. And they just moved to Las Vegas. So they got a chance to spend some time together. That was really cool. It was really meant a lot to me for you guys to see
that. Oh, my gosh, of course.
It was really
Thank
cool.
You for inviting
and
us.
It was really an honor to do it. And I've been telling everybody, I wasn't capable enough as an actor to do it any better than I did it.
you know? No, you were great.
And however it played out, that was as good as it was going to get. But I remembered, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I remember Wayne went to talk to some aspiring actors during a CineVegas function a few years ago. Remember that?
I do
Over
remember
at the district, I think it was, at their offices there. and or I think it was there.
It was.
And he was talking about projecting and about owning the scene. I remember sitting in on one of these sessions, and I remembered that when I was being directed by these by the reparteur of the Balanchine Trust, who came out, Philip Neal's his name, and he was working with me. And the most rudimentary functions as a human being are under investigation, and are being you're being inventoried the whole time when you're working with this guy. So the way I walked, the way I looked, the way I addressed people, I had to evaluate. And through that process, I learned how to do it. But it was a really interesting experience. It was very the moment you walk on stage and that light hits you, you have got to be ready.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you really have to know what you're doing. And it's so it's kind of simple for me to tell that to somebody who's been around a performer for as long as you have, or to me to talk about, you know, telling somebody like a Melody Sweets or the people in the ballet about this experience, and they. You know, they all get say that's where you get the bug, is when you're on stage and that happens.
Yeah.
And I would love to do it again. And there's just a lot that went into it. And
Were you nervous?
I was really, really nervous up until the night of the actual performance. And I was sitting there behind. I had to enter the scene from stage left or from stage right, house left, behind the curtain. It's a very tight area. I couldn't see, I couldn't hear, and I was in there, and somehow I just started breathing properly. I was like, okay, there's nothing else I can do to prepare.
Yeah.
I was nervous up to that point. I was like, this is it. I can't be nervous now because it's go time. It's either I do it or don't. And I just remembered everything. I'd worked on it. And the moment that I really like, will always remember the most out of all this, was walking on stage and me and Joshua Kakoa, who is the actor, who's really good. He's Hawaiian. He played the role of a Russian.
I was going to say, I really thought he was Russian.
Yeah, he's Hawaiian. And he was, we looked at each other when I came out. And this happened from the very first rehearsal. It wasn't in the description of what the character is supposed to do. The character walks out and he's kind of looking around the theater, looking around his surroundings. But for some reason, we locked up and just had a stare down every time we did this scene. And I kind of moved around him, almost in a kind of a quasi dance move around him. And that's what I'll remember is when we were looking at each other, especially that first night, like, and he's looking at me like, do not mess this up. Great guy, great artist, the whole company, Beth Barbary, James Canfield, we've had in here. Nancy Housels came back and talked to me beforehand. These are local legends, and the company dates to 1972 with Nancy and Vasily Sulic, and it's one of our most important community in Las Vegas artistic companies and institutions, and I was really, really honored. I can't express that enough to take part, so I'm glad you guys were able to see it.
Of course. We were screaming loud. The four of us were screaming when you did your bow. You bowed at the company. It was amazing. And it was really fun. We were so proud of you. I was like, that's my co-host. That's my friend. And it was a big...
Come a long way, baby.
It was a big Cats Lomitas weekend, because then your dad's inn was on...
Yes.
Ghost Adventures.
Ghost Adventures. And the night I premiered in the ballet, this is how my life works sometimes. My father's bed and breakfast. If you've read my column, you've read all about this during the holidays. The Lava Hot Springs Inn was featured on Ghost Adventures on the season finale Saturday night, and it's been airing in repeats. And I've always said that my dad's place, which was built as a sanatorium in 1924, has had a lot of medical activity in it way before he took it over in 1989 and turned it into a bed and breakfast. I've always said, Dad, market this as being haunted. And by gosh, Zach and his crew found him and spent 3 days there in August, and it aired Saturday night. And my dad's a TV star.
It was great when he said, I loved when he said, Zach Bagans was saying, so you turn this into, you know, a bed and breakfast and he's like, yes. He goes, you're the coolest guy ever.
He
or something like that. He was really
father.
Awesome.
My dad had told me that Zach and I remind him of each other. That Zach reminds him of me. And he said that the moment that he did that high five thing, he goes, I could have sworn it was you doing it.
Well, maybe spiritually your ghost
I'm haunted.
Yeah, I think you are haunted.
Maybe our show's haunted.
But also, wait, I have to really, really quickly say that I want to ask, did Zach Bagans put two and two together that, because he does live in Las Vegas, I assume he's very aware of
he was aware of that.
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
So have you talked to him about it?
I have not talked to him, but he said there was a discussion about whether to address that in the show, and I'm glad they didn't say anything, because there's business cards of mine underneath the glass at the reception desk there. It's very obvious, and Zach knows that I live here, and he did ask my father about it, and he says, we're just going to play this through. And whatever happens afterwards, and I'll probably talk to John at some point. I have not talked to him. I've never met him.
Okay, I think you should come in here so that we can have.
I know we need to get him in here and have a post-mortem.
Because I do believe in the whole thing. I know you don't.
You got to get up there, baby.
Yeah, I know.
We need to do a home and home. Meet him on Montana.
I have a cup and spoon.
Yeah, that's right. You do have some memorabilia.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and it is all that. It's a beautiful place. Whether it's haunted or not, I'm not going to comment
on.
Well,
congratulations to all the Cats.
I've never had that happen. What they talked about in the show ever.
Really?
At the end. No, I've never had it happen.
Well, maybe you're just not open to it.
I'm certainly not open to it. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I've had a bat fly by me though once.
Oh,
that was
I've had real bats and I had a bat adventure on 4th of July in Montana. So yeah. But anyways, congratulations to both the male Ketzlamitises on being us the stars of the weekend, and I'm honored to know you.
And you too with all the success at Shenandoah. So with all that, we're gonna talk about our guest this week. He is the music director for Jersey Boys, and he's also bringing a musical that he's been working on for quite a while. It's called God Lives in Glass to Reynolds Hall at the Smith Center at 3 p.m. Sunday. Here to talk all about this labor of love will be the great Keith Thompson. So stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is Frankie Shinta of the Shintas, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Welcome back. Sitting in the studio with us now is the music director of Jersey Boys at Paris, Las Vegas. But Sunday afternoon, he's staging the production called God Lives in Glass at Reynolds Hall at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. The show is at 3 p.m., and this musical focuses on the concept of God through the eyes and words of children from all over the world. It's a very ambitious project, not for the meek, and here's the man who created it, the great Keith Thompson. Keith, thanks for coming back in.
Oh, thank you for having me, John. It's great to be here.
All right. Mm-hmm. I would say about you, you should be the host of everything in Las Vegas
with your
work at the Composer Showcase.
I could be the host of one thing.
And, I wondered today if you could be the host
of
even
that. You
have
a host of talents.
Oh, you know it. Yeah.
The hostess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk right away about, was it the Composer Showcase last week, and you plugged God Lives in Glass at every opportunity. So I had it in my brain.
I did, you know, it's like, because it's kind of daunting to think that we've got to 2,000 seats to sell over at the Smith Center, and that's a lot. God Lives in Glass has been done 11 times so far here in Las Vegas. You know, small venues,
The Bailey.
Judy Bailey Theater, yeah, yes, here. And that's mm-hmm. what, about 550, I think, is mm-hmm. what it is, around that.
600 tops.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, so we're you know, more than doubling, like tripling the size of anything we've ever tried to sell before, and that's just a challenge, but it's a challenge worth taking because it's such a beautiful venue. The Smith Center, the Reynolds Hall, is just something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You walk in there and you look out and you just go, wow, this is so magical. It's just the most beautiful place.
It does have such a great job.
Since Cats starred in the ballet over the weekend, he can tell you firsthand that it was magical.
You missed that one, didn't you, Keith?
I did, but I followed you on Facebook and I knew that you were doing it. And I just...
Yes, I was there. It was the star. It was amazing.
Right. Yeah. We filled it when I was there.
I know you did. They all knew you were going
to
be there.
You need some stunt casting to help your little musical.
Would you like to be in God Lives in Glass? I'd love to have you. You'd be a great addition.
I'll
now that you're
JC.
A dancer.
I'll play JC.
Oh, my.
The Carpenter.
The Carpenter.
Yeah, I'll play
there
the Carpenter.
You go. The Greek JC. It's going to be amazing.
I didn't do any dancing, by the way. But
He was in tights, though. No, I'm kidding. He wasn't.
How is the show doing, by the way? Seriously,
how is
God Lives in Glass?
You mean sales?
Is it going to sell? Yeah. Is it selling?
We're selling. It's one of those kind of a slow-go kind of things, but we've definitely sold some tickets, and it's not, you know, embarrassing or anything like that. And of course, there's all these people who say, you know, I'm still going to get my tickets. So I don't think we're in danger of a sellout. So I think that there will be plenty of seats for people who want to walk up. Yeah. So please, you know, here's what we were thinking is that, you know, it's Sunday. Go to church if you want to, or your synagogue or your mosque or wherever you want to go.
Sportsbook.
And maybe do a little lunch and then
Sportsbook at the
Mosque. Or whatever. Yeah. Wherever
Superbook
you like
at the Westgate.
Uh-huh. And then come see us for about it. It's an hour and a half, so it's not really a big commitment of time. And it's a great, well, first of all, it's a great thing to bring your kids to because it is all based on children's drawings, children's stories about God. Not a religious musical at all. That's what some people always think, well, it's about God. Well, it is about God, but it doesn't try to teach you anything or anything
convert
like
you
that.
Or anything. So now, what gave you this idea?
It's a book that was written by a colleague of mine, Dr. Robert Landy. He's the head of drama therapy at New York University, NYU. And he, I used to teach there years ago. And whenever I was there, he was there. And a director friend of mine, Greg Anakis, showed me the book. And he said, look, we could make a musical out of this. It's really cool. So we got together with Robert and we started to collaborate and came up with an outline, came up with a whole idea about how we would do it. More like since it's a book about drawings, we decided to make it kind of a musical gallery. You know, so you kind of go in and view it. In other words, it's in a review format. So there's not really a story. You don't have to really invest in, oh, my God, what's going to happen to the characters?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to happen to God? You just kind of enjoy, you know, all the different impressions. And we put it together in a very entertaining way. So it has a really beautiful arc. It's earthy. It's funny. It's happy. It's emotional. It really and it gives a voice to all kinds of different thoughts about God. Even the places where God doesn't seem to be very apparent, places where is war and a lot of famine, disease, things like that. Places where there are children there who you ask them, hey, tell me about God, and they'll go, what's God? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I believe in science. You know,
I wondered, can agnostics take this?
Absolutely.
In
we have a whole scene in the show where we allow that voice to be heard as well. Yeah.
So how long did it take you to do this?
This is one of the easiest things I've ever written. It kind of flowed through me. And it took about 3 months. I was on the road at the time of Mamma Mia. And we had the outline together. And I just started writing. And it just started coming just through me.
How many numbers are in this, Keith?
17 total.
And you did all that work in...
Yeah,
Three months?
It just kind of went just out. And other people who know my work, this is really interesting. They would say, this is not like anything you've ever written before. This is so different.
That's apparent. Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy about that. I don't know what that says about me because I tend to write, you know, just the comedy things or you know, pop things or country things. But this particular thing is a real work. It's an opus, you know. It's a piece.
So, and are there actual children in it?
There really are. You know, it was written to be performed by adults, but there were always a couple of kids. As a matter of fact, when we first did the show back in New York for NYU in 2003, the girl who sings "The God Is a Tomato," which is a really kind of funny song for a kid, it was Sarah Hyland from Modern Family.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She was our first God Is a Tomato girl.
Isn't that their tomato girl? I love it.
And her mother is actually still kind of involved with the show. We did a workshop last month in New York to try to kind of develop the show a little bit more as a theater piece. And Sarah's mother was right there with us the whole time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. She's awesome on the show.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I love her. Mm-hmm.
You've got other plans for her, don't you? Another casting.
Maybe.
I
would like that very much. She can sing, that girl.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She can sing about tomato, obviously.
And now, maybe later, potato.
I was going to say, I was going to ask
the potato. Oh, my God.
We'll go through the whole produce section with
exactly.
her. Now, you got it.
She does a great rutabaga song.
Yeah,
rutabaga,
like, just do the whole medley. Mm-hmm. You've got a full orchestra.
20-piece orchestra, 20 piece, yes.
And 24 singers, right? The choir
choir is back. We started out, when we first started doing the concerts, with about 24, 25 singers in the choir.
Oh, you've got 75.
Yeah, 75 now. Yeah. We're actually, if you add the kids in there, we're up to 80.
Wow.
And then there's 20 dancers. So there's going to be 100 people on that stage making pictures, making noise, you know, just making quite a sensation. It's overwhelming.
I'm overwhelmed for you.
Uh-huh, and I have to deal with all the schedules and making sure that everybody can come to rehearsal. I'm tired.
Yeah. So, I mean, was it a hard adjustment to go? You said you played smaller rooms to be able to, because obviously that stage there at the Smith Center Rounds Hall is very big.
Yes.
And it's a lot, there's different levels to play to. I mean, it's definitely, was it hard to kind of restage it?
Oddly, there's a lot of width in that space, but there's not as much depth as you would think because put all these people up there in this kind of a choir formation and the orchestra's up there too. So there's not a lot of depth to play with on the downstage. And so the dances are going to look very big and full. And when Myron Martin up in the Smith Center approached me about this, his whole idea was that, first of all, it's a community thing, and the Smith Center is here for our community. Mm-hmm. Also, he said he wanted it to be the biggest and the best that it had ever been before. You know, that was the goal.
He's seen it at Bailey, Myron?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to be a benefit for the outreach program, the educational outreach program for the Smith Center anyway.
Right? Which also, you know, is an outreach program to young people. Mm-hmm. So the way that God Lives in Glass has become an entity into itself to reach out to help raise money for youth-related charities like Candlelighters for Childhood Cancer or Make-A-Wish or Family Promise, and then now for this education outreach program, which actually helps elevate the artistic experience for young people in the Las Vegas Valley, which is great, you know? So it's all kind of God Lives in Glass is doing its thing.
Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the stars in the show, some of the people we'd recognize, because you've got a pretty impressive collection, obviously, of people who are going to
Well, of course, I couldn't even imagine doing it without bringing Kristen Herzenberg back to town. You know, she's my darling, and I just love her talent so much.
The pride of Houston now.
I know she moved away, but she's coming back. Becky Spencer, another friend of ours who's a collaborator. She was Madame Giry in Phantom originally. She's funny, and she's a wonderful performer. She's a great collaborator. She loves singing my material, and so she's coming back from – she lives in L.A. now. Rebecca Ron, you know, Ben Hale's wife.
Oh, yeah.
She's coming back. She's been one of the ballerinas in our show in God Lives in Glass for the last maybe four or five times we've done it.
Wow.
And, they're in Nashville now, right?
They aren't from Nashville. When I sent out the email to all the alumni who've ever done it, and I said, can you come back? And she was, you know, would love to. So we brought her back in for that. You got Joe Barbara from Jersey Boys.
Yes.
Is our leading man. And
I love him.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And Janine Valentine. Is stepping
in. Oh my gosh, wow.
Oh yeah. She's
of Nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
And
the Shintas.
Yeah, she's
Nonsense at Kahuna Film and Shintas at large right now.
Exactly.
She's quite the talent, that one. She's really good.
She can belt, man. Woof.
Great singer and really a nice actress. You know, she's was kind of the Tina Walsh has done it so many times for us in the past, and she was not available this time. So
she's on the road with the
She's on the road.
Phantom, right?
Yeah, you call that the road. She's in Malaysia or somewhere like that. Yeah. She's on the other side of the planet.
Shuttle to Macau or wherever.
I told her, Tina, get your priorities straight. God Lives in Glass.
If there's anybody who can make that happen,
or
you
that
could.
Silly little show, Phantom in Malaysia.
Yeah, no, but you got Bat. Nicole Pryor is back with us. Okay. She had moved away. Now she's living here again. So I'm so excited about that. She's quite the voice. Let's see, who else? You got Bruce Ewing and Kevin Patrickson, Jeff Lebo.
I saw Jeff tweeting about this,
Yes, Douglas Crawford. Those both guys are from Jersey Boys, that's right. I'm trying to think of who else. These young people, I got to tell you, there's one really special young person. They're all so special. They're fantastic. All related to different people in different parts of the business. So it's the kids of families who are still in the business. But one particular one who is now our tomato girl, she's Eliza Belk. Her father, Jim Belk.
I know her.
Was the drummer the
I
last
know this
time
little
we did
girl.
It. Yeah. She's really something. She's
she
special.
Is crazy theatrical.
Wow.
And her dad was the drummer last time we did it, and he passed away a couple of years ago.
I'm so sorry.
He drummed in God Lives in Glass?
Yes.
Yeah, he was Jim was a drummer originally in a lot of shows.
Million Dollar Quartet.
He Will Rock
I met
You.
Him
is how
Will Rock You. That's right. Producers. He was my drummer and producer.
Tragically died about a year and a half ago now,
yes.
Jim.
So to be able to bring his daughter into this experience is just so special to me. It's like family, yes.
I should repost the column. I interviewed his wife.
Megan.
And when I was interviewing her, I met her that day to interview her about Jim.
Oh, my God.
And this little girl walked into the room and introduced herself. And the way she handled herself, and she came in at the end when we were finished and led me to the door. Yeah. And I told Megan, I said, she's going to be a performer. That one.
Wow.
Just from the two sessions. So that's cool. Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that was going on.
Yeah, that's something that's just kind of been very special.
Yeah,
to me.
Jimmy was a great guy.
Yeah, one of my dear friends. Yeah. One of the first people I met whenever I moved to Las Vegas. And it's so hard to lose him.
He helped keep that We Will Rock You. You both did on the rail, right?
Yes, he was our comic relief. He was a funny man.
Well, and now, so the it's funny. Is she actually listed as the Tomato Girl?
No, but in the the Tomato Girl. There's Nikki Scalera's in it,
mm-hmm.
Making a nice appearance
incredible.
As the Tomato Mom.
The Tomato Mom. Okay, I love this.
This is going to be the post party is going to be really fun at this show. But,
yeah,
Nikki's also wildly talented. And,
yes.
Oh my God,
Tarzan
yeah.
on Broadway and
yeah,
show
with
in Vegas
yeah, with Josh Strickland, both of them. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
We're in the show together. What's the? I know you've got so much going on, and you mm-hmm. it's a lot just to get this on stage at the Smith Center. Is there a future for God Lives in Glass past its regional appeal and these kind of one-offs, or what's your end game with this?
I don't know that there's an end game per se. God Lives in Glass did this weird incarnation of a piece of entertainment where we started as a piece of theater. We did after we did our original production. Just the first one is always like a workshop. So we look and we took it to two stage readings at Manhattan Theater Club in New York, and then also at the the theater at St. Clement's Church. Which is on 46th Street. It's a theater that was in an old church. And I moved to Las Vegas. The timing was weird, where all of a sudden I wasn't available to be there for it anymore. And so to keep it from going away, I'd also been like shopping it to the MTI Con, that's a Musical Theater International, their catalog and Samuel French as maybe a musical that could be distributed
sure.
because it's a easily done by communities and things like that. It's good for that.
Family friendly and
uh-huh.
yeah.
And schools, it's good for schools. But when I got here, I had the opportunity to mount it as a concert version for charities. And it was just a way of keeping it alive. And when we started doing that, it was like a moth to a flame. People started coming to it and wanting to do it again and again. And more charities, like Bruce Ewing came in to me about Family Promise. And then we did it like two or three times over at Community Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm.
Then we partnered with CSN and partnered again with the NCT, Nevada Conservatory Theater over at UNLV. And it just kind of the snowball thing. And I just kept putting it out and saying, hey, anybody want to come play? People would come to me and say, yeah, I'm a dancer or I play the oboe. And I didn't have an oboe part, but I had to write one. So that's kind of how it grew. But that's it getting bigger and bigger. On the other end of that, like just last month, we did a workshop in New York at LaGuardia Performing Arts Center. And a producer there who knows me, my work, and also Robert Landy's work, the drama therapist, was very intrigued by the cross-cultural nature of it because it does cross it's about how we're different but how we're the same. There's so many different ways to look at God, and yet there are so many similarities in the way that we think of God, even if we don't believe in God. It's kind of fascinating. So he got grant money, and we're in the process of developing it further as a piece of theater, which would mean going the other direction, making it smaller, pulling it in, making it as efficient and as tight as
that
it can
would
be.
Yeah, that would help its viability down mm-hmm. the line, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah, and that is
an
it.
Aircraft carrier, what you got going now. It's a
and in the meantime, taking it to different communities as a community builder and, kids' choirs and gospel choirs and things like that, that's always a possibility for it. I got that version of it ready to go. We've done that one 12 times.
got that down.
It'll be 12
that one's
times
done.
Next Sunday.
All right, Keith Thompson, we got to wrap it up here.
Okay.
3 p.m. Sunday is the time for God Lives in Glass. It's tickets are available at thesmithcenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Thesmithcenter.com. Hit that. Walk-ups available. Spend an hour and a half there after the early games, friends.
And you won't be sorry. It is a magical piece of theater.
The songs have been, for 9 years now, they've
wow.
been testing this
uh-huh.
out. They're always nails, and it's going to be a great time, and I can't wait to see it and wish you nothing but success, as always.
Thank you,
John. Thanks for coming down.
Appreciate that.